Pastor, for the opportunity again to open God's Word. If you could please take your Bibles and turn to the third epistle of John, to the book of 3 John, 1327 page in my Bible, if that's any help. And also, if you could find in your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. So we'll look at the third epistle of John, in verse 11, and then we'll jump, if you keep your finger in the book of 3 John, over to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. We'll start in 3 John, verse 11. 3 John verse 11 reads, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be unto thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name." And if you keep your finger there and turn to Proverbs 22 and verse 1. Proverbs 22 verse 1 reads, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Great God and Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word, that it is eternal in its principles. Lord, that the counsel is not for only our age, but Lord, for the ages that have passed and for the ages to come, that your word is forever settled in heaven. And we pray, Lord, as we gather here tonight, I ask Heavenly Father for the help and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Lord, may he direct my thoughts as we study your word tonight, and I pray, Lord, that you would, open our hearts as we've prayed already to receive what is from your word this evening. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So, tonight, if you keep your fingers in both Proverbs and the book of 3 John, tonight, my desire is to wrap up this short little three-part series on the book of 3 John. 3 John, three sermons, and the overview of the book of 3 John is simply how we as believers, as individuals, ought to behave in the local church. In the beginning of this short epistle here, this letter, we met one particular character. The Apostle John was writing to a man named Gaius, a man who had come to know Lord Jesus, come out from a Gentile background. And this man was an example of the Christian that every church needs. And we see the Apostle John highly commended. He highlighted a Gaius' conduct in the local church and set it for us to be an example. Gaius was a man, according to verse number 6. If we read verse number 6, "...which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well." This is a man who knew the meaning of true hospitality, true biblical hospitality, which is not simply to entertain, not simply to provide a good meal, although that's what we would hope to do when we're being hospitable, is to provide a good meal and to encourage one another, but one who thrusts or propels others forward in the will of God. Gaius was a man who, at a time when, of course, there were few inns, few hotels, where Christians were persecuted, they were being chased down by the Roman authorities, who took in those who were on their way, who were following God's leading in their lives, to go spread the gospel. And that's what the word strangers there in verse number 5 refers to. It's not just any random person. It's not a direction for us to go and just pick up anybody off the street and say, come. But in the context of the passage, we see that these strangers were believers who had lost perhaps their home, their property, and now they were following God's will in where to settle next and spreading the gospel as they went. Gaius was a man who knew that the most important thing wasn't just to provide physically, but to exhort, to push forward spiritually. And that was the challenge from the life of Gaius. Have we been like Gaius? Have we sought, have we pushed others forward in the will of God? Now, sometimes that might just be a simple word of encouragement to a discouraged brother. Other times it might be a grabbing by the collar and, no, not this way, that way. Okay, sometimes propelling forward doesn't always mean just, yep, keep going. It involves rebuke. It involves perhaps a stern word to say, no, that's not the way we should be going. That's not forward, that's backward. Forward is this way. Forward is, this is the will of God for you, and you need to go that way, not this way. That is true hospitality, and that's our responsibility as individual believers in the church, in this local church that God has placed us. But then we met with another character in verse number 9. And this man, Diotrephes, was unfortunately the Christian that no church needs. And we saw that in and through his life and his conduct, this was a man who sought to serve himself. He was a self-serving Christian. I've got that in little quotation marks in my notes, Christian, because everything that he did, his actions, his conduct, would suggest otherwise, would point otherwise. And yet, this is an example of a believer or the person, that person in the church, who is out to meet his own needs. In verse number 9, we see that he was one who loveth to have the preeminence. He used the local church. He made use of it so that he could promote himself. He could push himself forward. And sadly to say that in churches that we can find individuals who would use the local church in order to proclaim their own ability, their own goodness, to the detriment of the local church. And today, we see that in the spirit of what can I get out of church? How can I use church to meet my needs? Perhaps I've got social needs that I need to be met through church. So I'll go to church and I'll on Sunday come dressed up, on Wednesday now I'll come and I will, I'll do all the, listen to the service, listen to the preaching, sing songs, but then straight away I can get to catching up with so-and-so and planning other things with so-and-so during the week. Rather than coming to church to focus on the Lord, focus on the preaching of God's word, there are people using church to meet their social needs. Perhaps it's their religious needs. Perhaps it's just to appease our consciences so that, okay, I'm in church on Sunday, pastor won't get on my back, he won't be calling me during the week, he won't be messaging me, and I'll feel less guilty because I'm in church on Sunday, and therefore I can live the other 6 days of the week how I like, as long as I'm in church on Sunday. A Christian, a believer who uses church to meet their religious needs, to appease their conscience, or perhaps it's to meet relationship needs. Relationship needs, maybe, and I don't know anybody personally, but I don't know anybody personally in the sense of those who come to church to look for a relationship. That being their primary goal, and I can only share with what I've heard in the past. But those who might come to church to say, you know what, I'm feeling lonely. I need someone. And you know what? Church is people. Church is people. I'll go there. But perhaps as soon as it's inconvenient, so-and-so is not so friendly to me this week. Maybe I won't go to church for a while. Come back later when they miss me. Those who seek to serve themselves, Christians who are self-serving, and you can tell them, because straight away, as soon as their needs aren't met, they're out the back. Out the back. Out through the doors, because they're not having their needs met. A self-serving Christian is a Christian that no church needs. And we see that in God's word, a self-serving Christian is one who comes to get rather than to give. Acts chapter 20, verse 33 tells us and reminds us we are to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." To be ministered to. Our self-serving Christian desires to be ministered to and not to minister. And believer, are we here to minister to others? Do we come with that first and foremost? Or are we here to be ministered to get something rather than to give? And last but not least, we come across a final character. And we see here in verse number 12, what can be said about a man to whom only one verse out of so many thousands in the scriptures is devoted? In verse number 12, we'll read, "Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and also we bear record, and ye know that our record is true." And that's it. Nothing else. Scripture doesn't shed any more light on this man's character, his circumstances, his past, his future at this point. What happened to him? Only we see in a snapshot of time that Demetrius hath a good report. So what can we learn from the life of a man to whom only one verse of Scripture is dedicated? Well, we'll do our best here. Well, first off, we see that like Gaius, he was most likely a Greek man, a Gentile, one who had come to Christ from a heathen and pagan background. And that's fairly straightforward. But then we see that he hath good report of all men. And what I see first is what God chooses not to emphasize. What God has chosen to emphasize is that Demetrius has a good report. God didn't say he had a good upbringing. As perhaps Timothy, with Timothy's example, we see that he had a godly mother and grandmother who knew the Lord, and that was instrumental in him coming to Christ and being useful for God. And yet here we see that God doesn't choose to focus on his upbringing. God doesn't choose to focus on his circumstances. We don't know how wealthy or how poor he was, merely that he had a good report. And this is a very interesting phrase, a good report, because it comes from a single word. And that single word is also translated in the word that we are familiar with, a martyr or a witness. So it's almost as if you could look at that passage, that verse that Demetrius hath good report of all men, and says, and you can reword as all men witness or will give a good testimony of Demetrius. Now that's a tall order, because the Bible says of all men. And it's in the present tense we see. So this is we take for granted that letters, nowadays we have email, we type something, you send it off, zip. So we know, for instance, when we receive a letter from the buses, like we read tonight, that, more than likely, Brother Bob and Sister Stella are still going through something at that time. This was a letter that was sent and it could have taken months to get to their location. And this shows us that Demetrius wasn't just a flash in the pan, a snapshot Christian. He was a man who had a consistent and persistent good testimony in that local church. It was an enduring testimony. And all those in the church would testify, would witness of Demetrius's good character and his conduct in the church. And whenever I hear the word witness, I always imagine a court scene, a courtroom. And if someone were to come and be called on to give a testimony or a witness, and you were being prosecuted for something, and someone would call a witness, how would they testify of your character? We often also, perhaps when drafting, CVs or resumes, that they often, people are looking for character references. Character references. So all men, this is a man who on his resume could put, just ask anybody. And that's an amazing thought. Demetrius, can I get a character reference for your history and your background, who you are? Oh, just ask anybody in the street. Or ask anybody in the church. That's an amazing thought. Could the same be said for us? Could the same be said for us today, brethren, that we have a good report, that everyone would testify to our good character? And that's a tall order and a big pill to swallow. But beyond having a good report, a good witness of all men, that all men would look at Demetrius and tell someone, yes, I know that man, and he is a godly man. Beyond that, we see in verse 12 also, and of the truth itself. Now that puzzled me for a bit. How can Demetrius have a good report of the truth? And in further study and reflection, we saw that if you could reword it, it's almost as if the truth would testify, the word of God would testify that Demetrius was a godly man. Now take a moment and think that that would mean that Demetrius' life, his character, everything he did and the things that he said, all were consistent with what's in the word of God. If you could almost imagine the word of God being brought up into the witness stand and a barrister asking, what saith the word of God about this man? What saith the word of God about Demetrius? And the word of God would say, he is a godly man. Brethren, we all have a responsibility not only to be mindful of our testimony before each other, before fellow brethren, but also to the word of God. And that's why it's significant that the Apostle John should mention both the good report by all men and the good report according to the truth. Because it shows us that in Demetrius' case, he had both. But it also means that it's possible to have one but not the other. It is possible to have a good report, a good witness of men, and yet not have a good witness before the truth of God. And we see that if we turn to the book of Matthew. Let's turn to the book of Matthew there in chapter 23. Demetrius lived, his actions and his deeds, his words, all reflected a godly character that everyone who knew him could testify to. But we see in Matthew chapter 23 that sadly it's possible to have the respect of men, to have the good testimony of men, to be thought well of by men, and yet by the word of God to fall short. We see here in chapter 23, and we see this is very characteristic of the group of people in the Bible, a very powerful and influential group who were respected by the majority of the people. Here we read in chapter 23, verse 1, and we'll read down simply to verse 8. Matthew 23, verse 1, then spake Jesus unto the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. And verse 8, but be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. That would be a perfect character description for Diotrephes. One who loves to be seen of men, loves to be praised by men. And these Pharisees were a group they were seen by everyone else as being very religious, very fervent, very passionate, and that commanded respect in that time. And we see here that that men would look up to the Pharisees. Men, women, general public would look up to the Pharisees, and yet, according to the truth, Christ condemned them because they were hypocrites. They lived according to the law and yet not the spirit the spirit of the word. We see that Demetrius was nothing like this. He was one who had, yes, respect of men, but that was because he had a good witness before the word of God. He had a consistent life that matched up with the word of God. And if we turn back to the book of 3 John, so we see that he had a good report of men. All men would say that this man was a godly man. But not only that, the word of God also attested to his godliness, to his consistency, to his obedience to the word of God. We see here that John furthermore puts his own testimony in verse number 12. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. And that phrase, we also bear record, is the same as to give witness to. It's the same as good report. To bear record, a good report. The Apostle John, an apostle who had seen the Lord Jesus, who had ministered with him, who had served faithfully for many years now, and this is in the sunset years of the apostle's life, he vouched for Demetrius' character as well. John was willing to put his testimony, his own character on the line to vouch for this man. And so it should be for us. We should have lives that are so consistent with the word of God that men would look at our lives and see that we are striving for godliness, that we are striving to obey God and be consistent in all areas of our life. And as I thought about how this would apply for us today, it seems that today many people are concerned. They think a lot about how others perceive them. And I thought, Lord, do they really need a message which basically is saying you should be mindful of how other people think about you? Because Demetrius had a good report, what about you? And I was challenged, I was thinking, Lord, but in our day, people are concerned about, yes, what other people think about them. They're concerned for their reputation. What so-and-so thinks of me. You know, if I do this, what will they think of me? What will my friends think of me? What will Pastor think of me? And I was admonished because the Holy Spirit said, we are living in a day where people are more concerned about what others think of them, having a good report of all men, and yet not of the truth. Not of the truth. And if we can turn back to Proverbs chapter 22, I had only a brief thought for this evening, so in drawing to a near close. We're living in a day where we have all sorts of technology at our disposal to craft, to influence what other people think of us, to project and to portray our lives in really any way and any sort of creative means, and we can determine what people think about us simply by the things that we present to them at face value, and that has come to a great neglect of character, of consistency with God's word. We see here in Proverbs chapter 22 verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. A good name, a reputation. A good reputation is rather to be chosen than great riches. But notice there we have a good reputation and we have great riches. We have wealth. But there's that very important sort of center pivot point, choosing. It's a choice between having a good reputation, one that is going to reflect honor to God, as Demetrius' life did, that he bore witness to the truth, that he was a consistent Christian, he lived the word of God. But for us, brethren, we have a choice to make, and that choice is based on our character, not simply about how others look and see us and perceive us. Our character. D.L. Moody said, if I take care of my character, my reputation, the report of others, my reputation will take care of itself. If I take care of my character, my reputation will take care of itself. Our my encouragement for you tonight, brethren, is that it's important what people think about us, but only as far as it reflects upon our calling as believers, as Christians. How does my life reflect, bring honor or dishonor, brings glory or perhaps brings into question my relationship with God, my position in Christ? And brethren, how does your testimony before others reflect upon your Savior? And I just, at a recent camp, that's what I challenged at high school. I challenged one of our students to think about that, because I have to confess that I probably wasn't in a right spirit, because teenagers will be teenagers, and there's a part of truth to that. But at the same time, he asked me, Mr. Wong, are you upset? And you know me, I'm great at hiding my feelings. Are you upset? And I told him, no, I'm not upset. I'm more worried or concerned about how this might reflect upon our Lord, how we're acting, or how we're carrying on. And they weren't doing crazy things. They weren't swinging. They weren't swinging around like bollards and jumping over things and I don't know, free running somewhere. They were just being teenagers, maybe being a bit foolish. And so I challenge you to think about that. How did what he do, what he was doing, reflect upon the Lord Jesus? How did that bring a good report upon our faith, upon our calling as Christians? And that's my challenge tonight as we conclude the book of 3 John, that we see one verse only of this man Demetrius, and God chose to emphasize he simply had a good report. He had a good witness, but not only of men. Men looked at his life, who knew him would say he's a godly man, but also of the truth. And in a day which is saturated with, you can be anybody you want as long as you present yourself a certain way, you know, your reputation, you know, who cares about character? It's really about how people see you. That's the message of the world today. That you can at least choose to control that. But brethren, as believers, we can choose to control the decisions that we make. We can choose to obey God, to have a consistent Christian walk, as Demetrius did, and let our reputation take care of itself, as D.L. Moody wisely said. Our character and our reputation. We see that in the life of Demetrius, he had a good report. He had a good witness. People looked at his life. They said, that is a godly man. That is a Christian. And I trust that can challenge us to look at our lives, to reflect upon, okay, people might look at my life and look at me on the outside and say, that is a good Christian. But what does the Word of God say? Does the Word of God look into my life and say, I can testify that you are walking after God? Let's close in a word of prayer. Our God and Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for these examples that you've set in your Word, that we can look into the life of Gaius and Diotrephes and even Demetrius, Lord, whom you only show that he was a man that had a good testimony before men, but also before your Word. Lord, help us to be mindful of that pitfall, that even though we might be tempted to focus upon the outward to make sure that perhaps we have that good report of men, that before you we need to have a good report of the truth, that in your Word and before your Word we need to have lives that are pure and consistent, that seek after you. Lord, help us, Lord, in our day of self-promoting and building reputations and being concerned about the exterior and externals. Help us not to neglect, help us to focus upon, Lord, obeying you and walking after you in a godly sort, that we might reflect, Lord, our walk with you, Lord, to reflect our Savior before the lost and before each other as well. And we ask this in Jesus' name.